Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father, how we thank you and praise you this morning that we can gather in your house on this Lord's Day. We ask your blessing upon each one who has come today that we might truly rejoice in all of your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for this season of the year, especially when we have Thanksgiving Day, and we pray that we would indeed be thankful and grateful every day of the year. We know that you're always with us to help us in every situation. May we love you and serve you in the way that we should. Please accept our worship. Help us, our Father, to walk in fellowship with you and do your will. We pray for those who cannot be with us this morning. We ask you to watch over them and keep them in your care and meet their needs in a very special way. May our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified through it all. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. For our scripture reading this morning, we're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, blameless, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. All right, we'll look at that portion in just a few moments. Now we'll stand and we'll sing open our final chapter of this great epistle. Paul is emphasizing here the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In each one of these chapters, we find the reference to that. And here in this part that we are looking at here, the first part especially, is speaking about the day of the Lord and all that that involves, and that we need to be ready when Christ comes again. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts today, and we ask you to bless it to each one of us, that we might learn something or be encouraged by something that would help us along the way, that we might be faithful to you, and that we might be ready when you come again. We know that you could come at any time. Help us, Lord, to walk in such a way that we'll be ready for your coming. And Lord, we just pray your blessing upon each one who is here today. You know each one of us, and you know what our needs are. There may be some that are not feeling well today. We ask you to strengthen each one physically. There may be some who have spiritual needs. And we ask you, Lord, to work in every heart and life and draw us close to yourself and help us to trust you and not be filled with anxiety and worrying and fretting. Help us, Lord, to look to you and find that strength that we need for our lives. And we do pray for those who cannot be with us this morning. I think of Karen Meister. Pray for her as she's there in the hospital. And we ask you to just strengthen her. We thank you that she is doing much better. We just pray that you'll undertake for her and that she will truly be able to come home on Wednesday for Thanksgiving, and that you'll continue to help her through all of the trials that she's going through. And we think of others too, Lord. We know that there are others who are suffering in one way or another, and we pray for them that you will very graciously help them through these times, that they may look to you and allow you to take away any burden that is bearing them down. Lord, we just thank you for all your blessings and ask you to guide and help us. May we truly count our blessings day by day, and rather than complain, may we be thankful, may we be grateful. Forgive us for our failures and our shortcomings, and help us to do your will. We pray for our country, our Father. We just thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that we have in this land to serve you, the freedom that we enjoy, and we pray that it might ever be so. Lord, we just ask you to undertake for those who are suffering persecutions in many places, and ask you to watch over them and help them. Do be with our missionaries and help them as they seek to spread the gospel of Christ. And may your holy will be done in and through it all. Thank you, Lord, for your great love to us, and pray that we would love you more and do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. We find here the model church, as we saw in the beginning of 1 Thessalonians. We saw the model servant in chapter 2. We saw a model brother in chapter 3. The model walk in chapter 4. And here we find the ending of it all in chapter 5. He says, I have already told you these things. Of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. Now, these people had been converted from paganism. They had become Christians, but they had listened to what the Apostle Paul had said, and then what Timothy went back and taught them. And they were well established in these teachings. They understood from the beginning. You know, people say, you know, we shouldn't get too involved in doctrine and things like that because, you know, people won't understand. I think people understand a lot more than we think they do many times, right? And they need to know what the Scriptures say. And we have to teach doctrine. This is why the Apostle Paul goes into this here, and he's talking about the day of the Lord. This is a time in the Old Testament is full of this. It talks about the Lord coming in great power and glory and in judgment. And the day of the Lord, I think, is included includes quite a bit. When it says day, it doesn't mean 24 hours, of course. It's a period of time. And I think it starts with the rapture of Christ, the rapture of the church, rather, when Christ comes again and takes us out. The tribulation period begins on the earth, and the day of the Lord is in full swing, so to speak. And he says, you know perfectly well that the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. You know, think about that, the Lord coming as a thief in the night. How does a thief come? Does he blow a trumpet before he comes in or whatever? No. He just comes right in quietly and see if he can't get what he wants without being caught. He comes at a time when we're not expecting. Right? You're not watching for the thief. As he says in one place, those that are doing things that they don't want people to know about, they do it at night, right? And when in the darkness hides a great deal. And the day of the Lord will come in the beginning very quietly as a thief in the night and unexpectedly when everything is going well. He says in one place that you have peace and safety, then all of a sudden everything changes, right? Suddenly. Jesus said that in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man is coming, right? And so that's the way it's going to begin. But he says here there should be a difference between believers and unbelievers. Believers should have some idea that all of this is coming to pass, right? We have been taught this, and we should be watching. Jesus told his disciples that. Watch and pray, right? And you know, be looking and keep your eyes open. Don't be sleeping when you should be watching. And here, believers are not to be surprised by all of these things that are coming. He says, you know perfectly that the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety. Everything is going so well. Hey, we've got peace. Finally. All the nations now are at peace. Boy, wouldn't that be something? Wow. When's that going to happen? At any rate, he says here, we're not to be surprised. And when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. Ladies, what do you think? When you're expecting a baby, huh? You remember those times? And all of a sudden, it happens, doesn't it? Oop! What's going on? Let's head for the hospital. Huh? I remember Doris and I, the first time we went, had to go in the middle of the night to the hospital. She said, it's time. So here we go. And we don't have any control over that. That's something that works out. God has designed all that. And many times we are surprised at the timing of it. Just like a woman that is struck with this travail, this labor pains that come upon her. And he says, they shall not escape. He's talking here about those who are unsaved, the world itself, that thinks everything is going so well. Oh, we're doing such a great job, we're going to have peace in our time. This is the last time we're ever going to have a war. You remember that? You ever heard that before?
Didn't work out so well, did it?
Huh. No, not really. Hasn't worked out yet. And so this is the world. But it says in verse 4, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." See? You should be ready. Always ready. Have your loins girt about with truth. Be ready. In such an hour as you think not, the Lord is coming. God wants this day to be unexpected, but He wants His people to be prepared for the unexpected. So one commentator said, He wants us to be ready for the unexpected. Always in harmony with Him and with His Word and walking in righteousness and truth. Brethren. I like that word. You know, we are one in Christ and we are one with each other. Brethren, and we don't say sister, do you? No. Sisters. Okay. So we have the light of God's Word, you know. Throughout the Scriptures, it tells this is what's going to happen. We should just, you know, not be too surprised. I mean, we don't know the day nor the hour. Jesus said nobody knows, you know, except the Father. He has all of these plans in His that's set up, but we should be ready. We have the light of God's Word. We have the Holy Spirit who is with us to teach us and to show us and to enlighten us. You know, when you look around and see what's going on, you should have some idea, you know, things are heading in that direction. We are to be awake and watching. Here, He says, "You are the children of light, the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness." You know, there should be a distinct difference between a child of God and a child of this world. Shouldn't there? That's what God says. And there should be, you know what, you should be able to tell who's who. And many times we can't. I was talking before about that hymn. It talks about the wheat and the tares growing together. And they all look pretty well the same. But we should be different. We should be walking in the light, living in the day, not allowing sin to get into our lives and to corrupt us. Darkness always speaks of sin, doesn't it? It says God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Right? God is light, and we are the children of light. So we are to walk in the daytime, not in the night or in darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, that doesn't mean you can never go to bed. It doesn't, you know. No, it's don't get too literal. But it means that we should have our eyes open to what's going on around us and be sober-minded in the way we look at life, not so frivolous and going along with everything that comes down the pike. We need to take a stand for that which is right and good and just and walk in the way that God would have us to go. Now, it says that let us not sleep as do others. Now the word sleep here is a different word that's used in 4:14, where there in verse chapter 4 verse 14 it says, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." Now that is talking about those that have died, right? They're sleeping in Jesus. Their bodies are resting in the graves. But here, it's not talking about that. Here he says, let us not sleep as do others, in the sense of just, you know, being so casual about everything and being not being alert, not being awake, you know. Don't go through life with your eyes closed, in other words. Here it speaks of spiritual indifference and inactivity. You know, believers are supposed to be awake and alert and able to serve and to do God's will. Watch, keep your eyes open, and be sober, sober-minded. Now here, it's interesting, in verse 7, I know sober there doesn't mean not being drunk, I know that. But it is interesting in verse 7 that he refers to those that are drunken in the night. So I don't think we're supposed to do that either, right? We're not supposed to be drunk. Not drunken with wine, which is in excess, it says. For they that sleep in the night, they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Okay, that's the outside world, those who are unsaved, those who do not know God. They can, you know, sleep on. They can do as they please. They're outside. But we, as believers, are to set an example. We are to live our lives in a righteous way. We are to not allow ourselves to be drunk or to be ungodly in any way. Let us, verse 8, who are of the day, be sober. Sober-minded, sober every way. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So we're to be prepared as a soldier, dressed in his armor, ready for battle. We're to be dressed in the righteousness of Christ with faith, love, and hope. Notice, this is Paul's trilogy here. He uses so often faith, hope, and love. And we need all of this in our lives. And here it refers to the armor. If you look back in Ephesians chapter 6, you'll see Paul speaks again of the armor that God gives to us. In Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So here God prepares us with this armor. He says you need the truth, righteousness. You need to be prepared to take the gospel. You need the shield of faith. And you need to have your head on straight. Have on the helmet of salvation. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So, all of these things. And then prayer. Prayer enters into it. And he says, Paul says, pray for me. Pray for me as I spread the good news of the gospel. Pray for the missionaries. Pray for those who are spreading the word of God. So we have this wonderful preparation. And then in verse 9, we find the security that we have. Verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. God has not prepared us for this destruction that's going to come on the earth, for the tribulation and all of that. God has not appointed us to wrath, his wrath that he's going to pour out on the earth. He says, but we are going to have salvation. We're going to have deliverance from all of this. Just like you go back to the book of Genesis and you find when God decided to destroy the world, he delivered Noah and his family, right? They got in the ark. When God decides to destroy this world and bring all this judgment and wrath upon the world, he's going to take out those who belong to him. We are not appointed to wrath. Believers will not go through the tribulation, the wrath of God. Will be delivered in the rapture. And verse 10 says, for who Christ who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Whether we wake or sleep. When he comes again, we're going to be taken to be with him, right? And we shall live together with him. And we are to comfort. Verse 11 again. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So here we have, we're to comfort and strengthen one another. Every believer should give comfort and encouragement to other believers. He said that in chapter 4 when he was talking there about the rapture. When Christ comes again, and here again, he repeats it. We need to comfort and encourage each other and allow God to lead us in the way that we ought to go. So, this is something that we need to think about as we live our lives, that we might be an example to others. That we might be truly light in the midst of the darkness all around us. And let our light shine, right? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? I'm going to let it shine until Jesus comes. And be an example to those around us. I'm going to stop at this point. I've saved my other half of my message for next time, okay? Maybe we'll do that one on Thanksgiving. Can you come out on Thanksgiving or Wednesday night? I think I'll finish this on because it talks about being thankful. That might be a good time to do that. Our Father, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts this morning, and we pray that you'll speak to us and teach us what we need to know that we might be faithful to you and love you and serve you in the way that we should. May Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, be glorified in each one of our lives. I pray for anyone here today who is out of sorts, anyone who is out of fellowship with you. Anyone who needs to confess sin, we pray that they would do that today. We pray for anyone who may not be saved. We pray that they would come to Christ and put their faith and trust in Him. We know that it's only through Jesus that we have eternal life. And so we pray that each and every one of us will make sure that we have that full assurance of our salvation. May the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified, we pray, in His precious name. Amen.